from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Gresh and Fourier.
Here's the pitch to Diaz, and it's drilled high and deep to left field, and the Astros have just won the game. A bomb just in front of the train tracks. Another meltdown in the bullpen.
It's that time.
Gresh and Fourier right now on WEEI.
This bullpen.
Oh,
this friggin' bullpen's gonna drive you to drink. And you know what's crazy?
Drink.
Craig Breslow actually did a good job at the deadline. He went out and got two pieces. No, but he got two bullpen pieces where the Garcia guy was pitching great, and he won a battle there. They go and get Sims, and since both of those guys have come here, their numbers where they were to where they are now, those guys have just sunk in the toilet.
Well, hello, everybody. Here's the thing with the Red Sox. This is the thing. This is what I took from that game. Well, no, it doesn't have to be uh-oh. I take all my cues from Cora. Okay?
All right.
I take all my cues.
The guy is paid to be optimistic all the time.
And that is it. And it's, sometimes I wonder if he's gone to the optimistic well too many times. I wonder if he says, you know, because I believe in it. Now it's like he believes in the starting pitching, and he thinks he's going to be okay. That's how he usually ends everything.
Sure.
I think we're going to be okay. Yeah, I believe in this. Okay, now the bullpen doing this, I think we're going to be okay. Hitting like crazy, tons of doubles, blah, blah, blah. You can't finish games. You can't close out games. That's the biggest problem right now. I just wonder if that message is kind of like he's used it too many times. Like at some point in time, like I'm wondering, I don't know, what is there, 38 games left or something like that?
Yeah.
You know what?
I don't right know, around there,
you're about,
yeah.
What, 4.5 back now to Kansas City?
Four and a half back of Kansas City and Minnesota now, because those two teams are tied for 2 and 3 in the wild card spot.
Yeah, there's a big part of me that does want to call it official, you know, officially Dunsky, to call it done. I'm not going to, because there's a math equation here where if you kind of chart it out, you can literally see how many games they need to win and where they need to be at to still stay relevant, still be in the mix. But it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel like they're gonna make it to the end.
No, it feels like the bullpen is going to let them down, and that's why I mentioned the whole Breslow piece of this, because the two guys that he went out and got have been underperforming. And I know it was Kenley Jansen who ended up giving up the bomb last night in that tie game. But if you think about it, the Red Sox are up 2-0. They blow the lead. They're up 4-2 when the dopey manager of Houston makes it so easy for Alex Cora to be able to get Yoshida into the game. And it wouldn't have been a home run at Fenway Park, but it was a home run in Houston. And it's 4-2. And then the defense rears its ugly head once again. And you have, I mean, both sides made a ton of mistakes last night. But it really came down to your all-star caliber closer being on the mound, on the road, in the ninth, in a tie game. And then he gives it up. And when you look at the bullpen numbers, they're gross. Since the All-Star break, gross. Listen to this, folks. Here is where the Red Sox rank in the bullpen post-All-Star break. ERA, 30th. FIP, 30th. Look it up if you don't know FIP. Some do, some don't. OBA, 30th. They're 30th in home runs allowed. 30th in balls in barrels. 16 meltdowns, which is the most in baseball during that period of time. It's as simple as this. It feels like the pitching plan that has been put together by the pitching people, including Craig Breslow, is either they got the wrong guys, those guys came in and just sucked, or the plan was for only 120 games, and now it's running out for the final 42. That's all I can come up with.
Yeah.
Because this isn't a Cora issue. This isn't a, you know, well, the manager is mismanaging things. They're out there still booting the ball around every once in a while. And to your point, Christian, it feels like the bullpen is allowing this thing to kind of slip away once again.
Yeah, and I feel like, since the trade deadline or the All-Star break, like the most blown saves in Major League Baseball.
Oh, yeah.
It's just.
If there's a bullpen metric after the break, the Red Sox have been pretty bad at it.
Yeah, and it's always like when the year's over, you sit there and you try to figure out, like, what was the difference, what could have made up the difference. And it's going to be all these blown saves, all these opportunities when you had a lead and you couldn't close it out. And it was either one reason or another. And that'll be it. I mean, think about it. You've had 12 of them. If you just only have half, you're still in the lead and you're still in this thing. But they have 12, four more than any other team in Major League Baseball. That's way too many.
And they've overachieved offensively, in my opinion, with the way they played as of the last probably 2 months. They've been hitting. I mean, the offense has not been a problem. Cora has been aggressive in managing them to try to manufacture some runs. And it's just not coming together for this team right now. And you have Kansas City, who I think they was either 8-5 or 8-4. They doubled up the Angels last night. So Kansas City is playing one of the sick animals in the American League and the L.A. Angels of Anaheim, Orange County, and the surrounding areas, while the Red Sox are dealing with one of the hottest teams right now who is trying to make their own push in their own way in the Astros.
I saw this thing. Let me just read this
to you. I didn't know if you were going the Kenley Jansen against Houston numbers.
No.
Because yikes, it ain't good.
So this is from Red Sox payroll. Blue check mark, by the way.
Well, that used to, it used to mean something.
All right, well, tell
now
me if this,
it just
tell
means
me if this
someone
makes
spends
sense.
$8.99 a month.
Is that all it is?
I think it is.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't have one.
Do I have one?
I think you do.
God, I didn't
or
know
you
I,
did.
I didn't know I was paying
I just
for that.
Twitter. No, I can DM people. Why can't I DM?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. You can't.
Last week.
You couldn't DM Matt Judon.
Yeah, what the hell?
Apparently Family Pronoun got all the Judon interviews
Boston. How about that?
I'm not saying a word.
How about that? How did that happen? We can both have the same interview. You go first and I'll go second. All right, here's what I wanted to read you.
Who are you again? What's your name?
If right, probably. Here's because I'm gonna be optimistic. I'm gonna be Alex Cora.
Okay.
Because if I was a player, I would kind of want to know: am I mathematically out of it? Do I, if there's 6 games left in a football season, and it's in order to make for us to make the playoffs, we got to win 4 of the remaining 6. It doesn't matter what order. I feel like I have a better time, managing that mentally. So if the Sox win 2 games, okay, and every series the rest of the season,
okay,
they'll finish with 89 wins. Okay,
wow.
So they need to make up one game on the Royals per week the rest of the way to get a wild card spot. Then he says, a silver lining. KC has a brutal next few weeks, which we kind of see the Red Sox are going through right now.
The texter sent in 17 straight games against a division leader or the Twins for Kansas City.
But the math is starting to look harder. Okay, so fine. And I'm not going to go into the players who could or could be coming back, Slayton, Story, Hendricks, and all those guys. But that was one of the things that we talked to Lou about, maybe last week. And how the season will end.
Mm-hmm.
The season will end with easier games. And if they need to make up, three games, it's not crazy to think that they can't do it.
Listen, if the Red Sox end up with 88 or 89 wins and they don't make the playoffs, oh my God. Let's just go back to where we were at the beginning of the year when we were talking about, if the young guys can just play well, if the foundation can be laid this year, you can be a couple games under 500, but you're going in the right direction. If you level jump this thing and you get yourself into the mid to the high 80s, now either you start to look at it differently or management will just say this was an overachievement of a season. You had Yoshida come together. You had Duran put together the best year of his career. Tanner Houck and people like that. There is a different way that management can look at it over there if they really want to, if the Red Sox do not make the wild card. But my God, Christian, to think about even uttering that there's a path for them to win 87 or 88 games this year, considering we were hoping to God they would go 81 and 81 and just be a factor in all of this.
Do you think it's a lost cause? Do you think it's a lost cause, honestly? Okay, because I think a lot of people, when they're following this team, they get caught up in the excitement of it. They don't want to give up on the team. And I do feel like this year is different than the last two seasons,
mm-hmm.
where you kind of knew like it was going to fade. And I always felt like this team feels different overall with their foundation, even talking to Cora last week. Do you think it's a lost cause? Are we just like literally just chasing our tail with this?
You know what? In this one, I don't. And because of the weirdness of baseball, all it takes is 4 days where you're good and they're bad. And then a four and a half game lead is shrunk to a game. So right now, no, it's a little too early. If you ask me on September 20th, a month from now, then, some of the die might already be cast. But no, I mean, in baseball, it happens all the time where there's normally a division that down the stretch, it ends up getting close because of one series that swings it in one direction or another, or a team just ends up having a bad week, or you run into weather quirks, Hey, this game got rained out. Now you're playing a doubleheader and you're burning your bullpen, and then you're going on the road to play a game you got to go play. There's too many weird things that can still happen. But if the Red Sox bullpen keeps pitching like this, it will all be irrelevant and moot at the end of the day because it's Alex Cora's biggest headache right now. And it's our, as fans, biggest headache as well. Biting the fingernails of the, here we go, we're going to the bullpen, get ready for the ride. And a texter sends in the thingy of the 774. And good morning to the texters at 37937. A 774 texter, the thing is we're so close. Hendricks is almost back. Slayton, too, adding them to the pen makes it so different, but they may come back a few games too late. And that really is true, quite honestly. It really is true at the end of the day that they're that close. They're right there. But is the gap a gulf for them that they're not going to be able to kind of close?
Yeah, so they'll play the Phillies over the weekend. The Royals will, the Guardians, and then they got the Astros, who are just on another level right now.
So in the next 2 weeks, this thing can still change. The issue is the Red Sox have to go on a heater of their own. They got to do their part on this because I think they will get some help along the way in trying to knock down Kansas City. Good morning to the Twitchers as well. If you're watching on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Hey, if you're listening to us in your car or say you're in your office and you need to move around a little bit, adapt to the app. That would be the Odyssey app. Download it, and you can take us wherever you go. You can also watch us on YouTube as well. And the New England Patriots are off today.
Ooh.
We're mimicking game week this
week. That's right.
Yeah. So off day today, and then get back
so
after
camp
it.
Is over.
Nah, kind of.
No, camp is over.
Well, did camp really start?
Well, no. I mean, what was it? The real identifier of camp still existing is the late night meetings. So once you get into a normal work week, once camp is officially over, you have your practice at like 1, you're over at like whatever. Sometimes you'll have it at 12:30, 1 o'clock. You're done at 2:30, 3 o'clock. You come in real quick, grab a bite, you watch film, and you're out of there at 5.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a normal work week. And then some guys will, you know, stay after, watch film. They'll do their workout in the afternoon, and they leave whenever. But I feel like camp is over. Like, technically, it's over.
I guess.
Normal work week.
I mean,
Tuesday is off. You guys show up on Wednesday. We're going to do our official install.
It's hard to say camp is over when you still have 90 on the roster. See, that's my kind of hang-up is that you're not even down to your regular season group yet. You're not even down to your 53. Like, if they're going through a game week, are there 47 dudes down there that are just ping-ding-a-linging around this week and doing nothing?
Well, it doesn't mean that the practice, they'll still have a normal practice.
Well, Mayo yesterday, I don't know what tomorrow will bring with this guy, but yesterday he said that the healthy starters are playing in preseason game
number
3.
And they should. I feel like they should. Now that we're getting closer to the official end of camp, which really, you know, the official end of camp means the last preseason game.
Monday they're playing. Wednesday they won't. Thursday it'll be a we'll see. And then Friday Mayo will tell us what's really going to happen all over the place.
So you think that he's having a hard time keeping track of what he wants to say?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the latest contradiction?
Just a little bit. You can go back to January 23rd on Jacoby Brissett is the starting quarterback. And then yesterday it's the... Well, you never know. It's like, all right, what do you do? Like, and in between then, Mayo also tells us there's a plan. But then there's the, you know, we're just going to talk out of all sides of our mouth.
Go ahead. Well, no, it is,
there's a plan, but you know what? I might not know it. So I'm going to say some stuff.
I think
he, and I'm kidding on that part. I know he knows it, but it feels like answer to answer is different sometimes.
I think the plan is like the fine print of any plan is can change at any point in time.
It's like a poster for a wrestling event, and at the bottom it says card subject to change.
Yeah. I feel like that's – and he would be – and part of me is like, okay, either you have the courage of your convictions – or you don't. Either you go in there with a preconceived idea of what this season means, you know, what's most important to you, how do you protect your quarterback, how do you build a foundation, because you're really trying to build a personality in a foundation. How about the story about all the rookies that got together, and they all kind of like had like a meeting, and they all kind of talked mm-hmm. about like what they wanted to achieve, what their goals were.
Sure.
And their goal was to be the best, like, you know, draft class, you know, the Patriots have ever seen.
No,
something like that, right?
It was cute. It was cute.
It was kind of cute.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, look at them.
Cute little clubhouse meeting or whatever.
Look at them with their goals.
And then Javon Baker gets out on the field, and they're like, oh, kid, you got a long way to go.
Oh, look at you guys. What else do you want to do?
Well, and here's the thing with the quarterbacks quickly. There really hasn't – there's been nothing seismic with either guy to make you think that the plan would change. I know Brissett hasn't been good. May hasn't been great. It's all about the ceiling. It's okay to say, listen, here you go. Here's the plan. Here's what we're going to do. And the only person that seems to have some variance in the plan or the way it's presented is Mayo. And it leads people like, you know, Andrew Callahan and others. I know there's like a texter out of the 207 who's all over me. But, oh, I don't know. Everybody yesterday went back to July 23rd to what Mayo said. And then now, and it's, you know, And it could happen, might happen. And, Christian, will it be cloudy or sunny tomorrow? Well, both could happen. Hell, I don't know.
So real quickly on the 207 says the Gresh hate for Mayo is unreal. Things change. Mayo's played better than expected, and Brissett has played worse. Is it just as simple as that?
I don't think they put Jacoby Brissett in a real situation as the number one quarterback, even in the Eagles game.
As far as his opportunities,
in terms of game plan, what we're going to do, it was all pretty basic stuff. And again, it was preordained that Brissett's going to be the guy to start the year. And there's nothing that has really changed that, because like I said to you, the one thing that doesn't get talked about enough is once you go there, you ain't going back. And if the kid starts drowning, it's not going to be, well, pull him out to put in Jacoby Brissett. But at that point, it'll be pray to God he keeps a hand above water so you can hopefully pull him out if it starts to happen. And that's why I think you kind of wait a little bit. But then again, I don't know. When the head coach might not talk till Thursday, there might be a new quarter. Hell, Joe Milton might be a starting quarterback by then. What the hell do we know, for God's sakes? Tom Brady, though, did say something about young QBs that, will make us at least pause. Tom Curran will join us at noon. We have some Celtics to get to as well. Hart and I really didn't get through all the Judon stuff yesterday. I want Fourier's thoughts on kind of the way Elliot Wolf ended up handling that. And, of course, you at 617-779-7937.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Gresh and Fourier
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Well, we better get ready to Tom Brady and the opinions coming from Tom Brady, the number one color analyst on Fox, who will apparently have the week 5 game against the Dolphins in Gillette. That's when May will start.
Yeah, that's, listen, seems good. Listen, even if you told me he wasn't doing that game, I'd say that sounds about right.
It sounds like where the landing spot would be with Drake May. But
this sound that you're going to call for,
uh huh.
I do think is an indicator of why Jerod Mayo will not play Drake May. I think it is the clear kind of universal like thought and philosophy on quarterback development, playing, what they should do, sticking to a plan. Sticking to a plan. I think this is a big part of it. I think what you're going to hear from, and I'm not sure which one you're going to play.
No,
though.
This is Brady. Brady from Fanatics Fest on QBs and today's game.
There used to be college programs. Now there are college teams. You're no longer learning a program. You're learning a playbook. And the program is ultimately like in Michigan. For me, that was a pro-style program. 5 years, I got to learn how to drop back pass, to read defenses, to read coverages, to be coached. I had to learn from being seventh quarterback on the depth chart to moving up to third to ultimately being a starter. I had to learn all those things in college. That was development. Then I went to New England, and I was developed by Coach Belichick and the offensive staff there. I didn't start my first year. I think it's just a tragedy that we're forcing these rookies to play early. But the reality is the only reason why they are is because we dumbed the game down, which has allowed them to play. It used to be thought of at a higher level. We used to spend hours and hours in the offseason and training camp trying to be a little bit better than next year. But I think what happens is it discourages the coaches from going to deep levels because they realize the players don't have the opportunity to go to a deep level, so they're just going to teach them where they're at.
Man, I love that. I love that. Do you agree with that?
1,000%. But the problem is now. But the problem is now. It's going to be, you old heads, you don't know the game.
No,
it's all the because in college, it's very. Here's why the college game is simple, and why the SEC gets the respect that it does. Because there's 136 Division I football programs or something like that. There are about probably 20 to 25 of them that from a roster standpoint, they're relatively equal. Otherwise, every coach in college just goes, that corner can't cover. We're going to attack him all the time. And I don't want to say the college coaches can't coach. They just take the path of least resistance. It's not about building what they want it to be. It's just, how do I find a way to win a game? Oh, the third corner sucks. Let's throw it at him 25 times. That's not developing a quarterback when they throw for 400 yards and they're picking on one corner that can't cover anybody out there.
Yeah, I talked to a former NFL head coach just last week, and we had this very discussion about quarterbacks, about the college game, how just, I hate the college game. Like, I hate it. I don't know how you can, if you remove your loyalty to your school, your school spirit, you're an alumni, but if you just look at it from a pure product, as far as like next level, it sucks. Like the play design sucks. Like I hate it. I despise it. The game's horrible. And coaches in the pros hate it because they can't evaluate anybody.
Correct.
It's like, okay, and this is why you have so many different offenses, and this is why you have so many different, like, you know, variations of the run and shoot, is because, hell, we are not Alabama. We don't have the best. We're not LSU. And so we have to find creative ways to get our guys open because they're not as talented. But that's fine, regardless of that. The one thing that he said in there, I love the fact that he mentioned how they dumb it down, and because they're not capable of doing it, and you don't have enough time to teach them,
mm-hmm.
and then next thing you know, it's September, and then the first game is here, and you have all this pressure and expectations to play your young quarterback, who isn't ready, by the way. You're forced to have a boring, predictable offense with limited options, limited check with me's, and then your hope or your defense can keep it going and keep it close, and your quarterback can slowly progress as you win. Very, very, very hard to do. The other part about this that I think is really relevant, and I think it ties into Jerod Mayo and his plan and why he won't play Drake May, is what he said about forcing guys to play when they're not ready.
Mm-hmm.
That was the line, and I'm like sitting there going, if I'm Jerod Mayo, and let's say I didn't even have a conversation with Brady, but I respect Brady. He really knows what he's doing. And I already kind of felt this way, but now things are changing. You know, Drake May looks pretty good in a preseason game against twos and threes. And now, you know, the owner wants me to play him. I got to have the courage of my conviction to say, no, we're going to ruin him. Or we'll delay it. Or we'll ruin him, then we'll have to take time fixing it. So Brady says you should sit him. That's what Brady says. Look at his – now, sometimes I feel like he's too preachy because he's, you know, he's like second to nobody, right? I mean, like, he's just the best that ever does – that has ever done it. So sometimes I think, you know, he preaches a little bit too much because sometimes it's not based in reality. He was different. He was special. But I do believe there's a lot to that. And if I look at all the other quarterbacks, you know, that the rookie quarterbacks, right now you have two guys right now. Jaden Daniels was announced the starter for Washington. Caleb Williams is going to be the starter for Chicago. Looks like Bo Nix is possibly going to be the starter mm-hmm. for Denver. Penix is not even didn't even play in the second preseason game for some reason. Weird. J.J. McCarthy is hurt. He's out for the season. And Drake May is a let's wait and see. I do feel like there's, like, based on what Tom Brady says, I do believe that some of the stuff that we're hearing from Mayo is just bullcrap. I think it's just fluff. I think it's misdirection. Mm-hmm. I think it's Jacoby Brissett hasn't been playing good, so let me kind of, you know, mention the young quarterback. Let me also say that I don't know who the starter is. I need more from this guy. But I don't think he has any intentions whatsoever to play Drake May.
And I hope that is right, because I think in the first month it's the right move. A texter just sent in, Bledsoe started as a rookie, 774. Context matters. So you look at the year that Bledsoe was in there, Foyer, in a 16-game season where the game was different, I think we would say. You know, Drew Bledsoe did take some shotgun snaps, but he could, you know, handle the ball under center, which right now the number three pick has struggled at times to be able to do because of the differences in the game. But you look, Drew Bledsoe is a rookie through 566 times. The Patriots that year ran the ball 509 times. It's about as close to 50-50 as you're going to get. We know that you now throw the ball more in the NFL, but you still have to be able to throw out of shotgun, but still be able to run the stuff under center. And right now, I can't even 100% trust Drake May, hands under center. And there'll be some mishaps during the year, but right now it's very pronounced because these guys in college, to the point, they spend 90% of the time in shotgun. And guess what they don't do at the college level? Develop your fundamentals the way they need to be developed. So even though you're in a college program, you're not taking 50 snaps under center every day because you ain't got time to be able to do it. So every quarterback comes in with a different baseline level of the fundamentals. That's why over the last 3 years, Alabama and Michigan have filled the draft. Why? Because their coaches coach like NFL guys. And it's a massive difference in terms of you can be unbelievably talented and catch 400 balls over a 3-year period and you're definitely going to get drafted. But does that necessarily mean you're a great wide receiver because you put up numbers? Or were you the guy that was just eating every day against corners that you were just better than? But you get to the pro level and then you realize, uh-oh, everybody's good here.
Yeah, and the just to the Drew Bledsoe part, so Shaughnessy actually had an article in the Globe today, and he talked to Bill Parcells, and it was a whole like...
Good guy, yeah.
Yeah, and it was kind of interesting.
Make some bets on the third race.
Yeah, I know, right? We're going to go to Saratoga. And it was interesting because he mentioned Drew Bledsoe and how he was wired different, and the one thing that he had to kind of do with Drew Bledsoe was kind of, you know, rein him in because he was used to throwing it all over the place
mm-hmm.
and he had a lot of success. And Bill has mentioned this a lot, and you hear him a lot of the throws, and he actually said this, during the draft, a lot of the throws that these guys make in college, they'll be intercepted in the pros.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have nearly as much time, nearly as much space. The receivers can't get as much separation. There's a lot of contested catches.
Remember Belichick on McAfee?
Yeah.
That's something you're going to get in the NFL.
That's
now.
It.
You got to throw it.
That's
right.
It. So, and I do think so. But it worked for him. And for every quarterback that works, I feel like there's three that don't.
Oh, if
not like
more.
There's massive amount that don't.
I feel like it's like for the first round guys, I almost feel like it's a 1-to-5 ratio.
Yeah.
For every one that makes it, there are five who flounder.
Well, even this group right here, that's why I thought it was interesting. So far, two are going to be starters. Jaden Daniels is going to be the starter. They announced that, yesterday. Who the hell knows what's going to go on there? Caleb Williams looks like
They gave it to him right away. I mean, if you watched Hard Knocks, it was go ahead, kid. It's like what they did with Bledsoe.
But it's 1, 2, and 3. So yeah, Jaden Daniels can start. So Jaden Daniels was drafted literally one pick ahead of Drake May.
Right.
Jaden Daniels is capable and ready, but Drake May isn't.
Well, can't help other teams make bad decisions potentially.
No, I'm just listening.
I mean, that's
just
the thing.
It is weird like how each team views the process. Dan Quinn in Washington had a Jaden Daniels do some homework exercise, and Jaden Daniels came back with all the answers to the questions, and it was more about how he handles his off day, how he prepares, how early it's weird random stuff.
You mean he was learning the player and
he was learning
developing
the player.
A relationship.
He was developing a relationship.
I thought that only happened in one spot. I'm sorry.
You know what? You never responded to my text I sent you over the weekend.
What was that? I missed it.
Remember when I told you I looked up, for some reason, I was looking up Bill Belichick quotes?
I now remember this.
I was looking up Bill Belichick quotes, and since you have your phone out, because I thought this was hilarious based on the narrative that Gerard Mayo is pushing when it comes down to trust. And this was there was 20 famous Bill Belichick quotes. And if you have it, read it.
I do. It's got a lighthouse in the background, yeah. Right?
My wife thought it was a phallic symbol.
Oh, really?
When I was looking
at
it. Well, kind of. You can see it that way. But anyways.
Bill's just running the flag up there.
Yeah.
It says you can't build a team without trust.
What a crazy notion.
Right.
What a crazy idea. So this whole idea that Bill doesn't believe in trust or having his players trust him is nuts. Nobody's going to do anything if they don't respect you and if they don't think you have your best interest at heart. You're going to be yelled at and screamed at, but it doesn't mean they don't like you necessarily.
You know what? That's really funny, though, because I think that that's where we've gone. The coach will yell every once in a while. In all seriousness, as a parent, don't you snap or yell at your kid. Hey, Billy, did you grow up as a child getting yelled at once in a while?
More than once in a while.
Thank you very much. I think you're a well-adjusted human. Hey, Nick, did Grandpappy ever say get out of the chicken coop and yell at you or
something
like that?
That's where he put it when he was bad.
That's right. Yeah,
I got yelled at constantly. So.
There you go. We all kind of got yelled at as kids, and we're all not a bunch of, sitting in the corner thumbsuckers waiting for the sun to go down because, God forbid, we're too afraid to come out during the day. It's just amazing to me that it's by God, a professional football coach who's paid to get wins yelled at someone whenever they made the mistake four times over. God almighty. What in the world has, the pro environment become, for God's sakes? The public push or admission that maybe May could get in there, is that Mayo trying with a desired cause and effect? Has Jacoby Brissett been that bad? Did you just say, we got to scrap the plan? I'll get Fourier's thoughts on this next.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go. Gresh and Fourier.
On WEEI.
Is this from the Kirk Cousins playlist? I mean, it couldn't be a more whiter playlist than you would ever see in life to play in a...
I thought about
great
that.
Songs on
well,
that.
Listen, in terms of just some folks walking around in normal life and listening to some of what was on the, Three Doors Down or whatever in the Kirk Cousins playlist. If you're just a normal honky walking around Earth, that would be fine. When you're the starting quarterback of a NFL football team and, you're trying to maybe musically sort of take care of everyone and, hey, here we are getting ready to stretch and here's Hoobastank. Like, I'm sorry, some of the dudes with Flava on that team are going to be like, what the hell is going on right
See,
now?
See, for like even like a middle-aged white guy, I would usually think that there's a Tupac, a Biggie, you know, a Run DMC,
I'd throw some Fat Pat in there from, you know, the entrance
Fat
of
Joe, whatever. Yeah, there's got to be like a, there's got to be Eminem. I mean, if that makes you feel better, there's not one like classic old school, new school, popular rapper anywhere on the list. Because you sent it. I was like, oh, everything is like some indie rock, alternative rock.
He's got like
Good Charlotte.
No, but like the Fountains of Wayne, Stacy's Mom. Okay,
that's
right. That's a fine song. You know, Blink 182, All the Small Things. Okay, fine. All American Rejects. You can't go wrong with them. But you know, yeah, Gym Class Heroes featuring Adam Levine. I'm sure there's some, you know.
Again, there's not one
rap
song. I'm
sure there's some country ass
list
who'd be like, what is this?
There's not one rap song in the group. There's not one, right? No, there's no bass line that exists in this playlist.
I mean, can you imagine you're trying to work through practice, you're grinding through and stuff like that.
His playlist.
And then here comes This Love from Maroon 5. God. I'll tell you, that sets the tone for the Run Game foyer, doesn't it? Oh my goodness.
My heart's a stereo.
Yeah.
He's adult contemporary. He is adult contemporary.
Yeah, boys, let's go.
He's top 40 from 2006.
Yeah. Come on, boys. Big run.
I mean, it makes sense.
Can you imagine him, though? Big run period. Here we go. Come on. You all linemen, I want you firing off the ball. Let's go. Here we go.
Yeah, this is all the songs that were played at all the frat houses when he went to Michigan.
This is when I'm getting dental work. This is what is playing on the speaker.
Like when I had to get an MRI yesterday, and right when they put the headphones on, and say, "Hey, what type of music would you like to listen to?" I said, "Give me the Kirk Cousins playlist."
Oh my
Give
God!
Give me the adult contemporary playlist for me, please.
Yeah, it's
not too aggressive, not insulting. You can play it at, like, you know, in the elevator. You can play it at, like, dentist offices, doctor's offices.
I got to tell you, I think that if I were a part of a NFL roster, I would want nothing to do with picking the music. In any environment, practice, whatever. Oh, it's your birthday today. I don't care.
If you're taking a road trip, Do you guys who's in charge of playing the music?
No one normally, because most of the people that I ride with sleep or will have their own like headphones.
Okay,
on.
Usually like if I'm taking the kids out, like most of the time, like whoever is sitting shotgun likes to control the music.
I have it on my steering wheel, and no one is to touch the radio.
Okay,
but normally it isn't on. Because everybody is kind of doing their own thing or whatever.
Well, that's true, too.
Like when we went to Atlantic City a couple months ago for the UFC. My wife was in the way back watching something on her phone, right? One of the kids was asleep, and the other one that was up front was, he popped on headphones, and I was listening to like a pro wrestling podcast or something, so nobody was paying attention.
Like even when it was like in the locker room, in the weight room, like the oldest guy had control of the radio. But even then, there was a lot of pressure because, like, what if, like, your mix isn't quite what everybody else wants, and it's like now you're responsible for everybody's, like, mood, and if you play the wrong song, everybody yells at you. So lots of guys would start off with their own little playlist, and then they would get just hijacked because the mix sucked.
Well, and then you go through that transition in college where at least this happened for like, me and Nelson, where he would introduce me more to rap, and I got him more into either classic or hard rock. So by the time we were done playing ball together, wherever, if we were like in the car or whatnot, we kind of knew sort of where we could go, playlists or, you know, what we would want to listen to or things like that. So you always have that too, because, you know, I went as a Metallica listener when I showed up at school, and then I left, and, you know, I knew about the Woo. not Mayor Woo.
Not Bike Lane Woo.
Yeah, not Bike Lane Woo. We're talking about, you know, Inspector Deck and everybody.
Okay.
And, you know, the Wu-Tang Clan, for crying out loud. By the way, still, best use of Wu-Tang Clan was Chappelle's Show, and I'll fight people to the death.
Oh, absolutely.
You need to diversify your bonds is maybe one of the funniest things ever. I I don't know. Is it funny or not that Matthew Judon is gone? Judon spoke to the media yesterday. He spoke to some media around here. And I got to say, from the Atlanta portion of his press conference, there was something that Matthew Judon said that we apparently had no idea was going on here. And I don't even know if it's the main reason why the guy is gone. You'll hear it, and we'll get to it next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.